Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this Thursday, the 2nd of April. It's very nice to have you with us. It's our roundtable panel, and I would introduce our panel to you, but they're not here yet. We do have there are two members of the panel who are still doing the media project, but they'll be here in a few minutes. Alan Chartok and Rosemary Armeo will join us in a moment, but because he is a newsman and he is never late and he is always on time and he always makes his deadline, Mike Spain is here, Times Union Associate Editor. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Unless I get stuck on the thruway.
That's right. You can always blame traffic, can't you? We always can do that.
It's the world in which we live.
I don't know what was going on last night, but I was leaving.
Northway had an accident up, a burning car up near exit 5 on the Northway.
Is that what was causing everything? Because both ways, I was trying to get from here, from this radio station, down to the Empire Plaza.
Oh.
And everything was just stopped. Washington Avenue was stopped.
I wonder if there might have been something else. Too.
Well, it may have just been the bottleneck.
Yeah.
It's all connected,
it's all related,
isn't it? Yeah. Well, while we're waiting for the other group, I just want a quick reminder that you can go to roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and join us for our conversation, and you can join in and tell us what's on your mind as well. So why don't we begin, sir, with one of the stories that you have in the newspaper this morning. We can begin there.
Well, you know, it's a really fascinating story by Claire Hughes about a study that researchers at Brandeis and Ohio State Universities did, analyzing 2010 census data for the top 100 markets in the country, including Albany. And as Claire points out, Albany, the capital region, has the dubious distinction of being last. And what we're talking about is opportunity for black children. When it comes to providing black children with an environment that supports healthy development, the Capital District ranks worst among the 100 largest metropolitan areas in the United States. And the index that this group, Child Opportunity Index, that they've established, found 60% of the region's black children live in what researchers are categorizing as low opportunity neighborhoods. And these include the presence of quality early childhood education opportunities and the proximity to parks and medical facilities and houses that are under foreclosure. Specifically mentioned Albany's South End and Arbor Hills neighborhoods and Hamilton Hill in Schenectady and the strip that runs through downtown Troy, as well as some rural areas in the capital region. So it's quite an indictment of, while this area seems to be doing well, you know, with Tech Valley and, you know, all the job growth, it doesn't seem to be expanding into the minority community. And it really is consistent with other studies that have found, you know, high rates of poverty just recently for children in Albany and, Schenectady and Troy being among the toughest in the state.
Do we have a sense of why the researchers chose this area to look at?
Well, it was that they went to the top 100 metro areas. They took census data and a lot of other data, and then they ranked them, and Albany's at the very bottom of the top 100 metro areas. Larry Spring, who is the superintendent of schools in Schenectady, talked about how this just limits mobility for minority students. If you just have a couple of things happen in a child's early childhood development, it can have a profound effect for their whole life. And because of the opportunity that's not there in these neighborhoods, a lot of kids are getting a bad start. And it just, you know, it underscores the need for, you know, improvements in education and social services that will break the cycle of poverty. But this is what it is. It's a cycle of poverty that she's writing about today.
It's quite a story. Our other members have joined us. We're going to let them get settled. We will take a break. We'll come back and we'll get officially started. It's our roundtable panel for this morning. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, offering a household hazardous waste and medication collection day in Kingston for all Ulster County residents on Saturday, April 18th. UCRRA.org for information. Saratoga Bridges, Ballston Spa, New York, a community resource for people with disabilities and their families, supported employment, day services, and more. SaratogaBridges.org. And Oblong Books, presenting Helen McDonald with her book H is for Hawk, Sunday, April 12th, 4 p.m. in Rhinebeck. oblongbooks.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel. The whole group is here, so let me officially introduce them. Alan Chartok, good morning, sir.
You.
Mike Spain, of course, who we've been talking to, and Rosemary Armeo from SUNY Albany with us as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? I just want to, just one housekeeping note before we officially get started here. The Metroland Readers Poll 2015 is out today, and if you look at the media section, for best news radio station, WAMC is number one. It's another big and well-deserved win for WAMC and their multi-state news operation. News director Ian Pickus and company should take a bow, says the Metroland. Then best talk radio, WAMC number one. You can't get enough of Joe Donahue, the roundtable panel, and Vox Pop. Can you? Question mark.
No.
All right, but that's not what I'm. That's not what I want to tell you about. What I want to tell you about.
You know what SPS stands for, right?
What?
Self praise stinks.
SPS.
No. Well, here's why I'm doing this, though. In the etc. column, the free for all category in which your readers must, which our readers muse sagely and rant wildly. Best local celebrity you'd like to date. Rosemary Armeo.
Oh my God! I did not.
Whoa.
Hey, can I give my number out?
1-800-32 No, I'm sorry.
Skeeter Creek's Buddy Cocker, Matt Baumgartner, Jeff Nania, N-A-N-I-A, Nania, Trishna Begum, Rosemary Armeo.
Oh my gosh.
Yolanda Vega, John Gray, and Nipper.
Alan, I'm humbled by this.
I'll bet you are. You're not crowing, are you?
I'm crowing about how popular I am.
However, I once won one of the great categories of all time. Who would you like most like to have a one-night
stand
with?
That's true. I remember that.
I so, love the contest even that asked that question.
Best local celebrity you'd like to date, and we have her right here.
That could be.
I'm free tonight, guys. So.
Well, it could explain why the roundtable.
That's right. Has the great popularity. Is yes, we love the roundtable panel because we hear the.
Well, thank you for
the ever charming
that hot Rosemary Armeo is on the panel.
So, congratulations to all involved. That's very cool, and thank you for readers for. Thank you for the very nice readers who
What's
put us in the top of their poll.
What's the demographic of Metroland, do you think? What is their
it's
typical
It's exactly
reader?
Like our demographic.
Right. Just wondering.
It's a perfect, yes.
Well, I would say it's even a little, even a lot to the left of our demographic.
Is that right? Is that correct?
I think we're liberal, but, you know, moderate to liberal. Whereas I think the demographic for Metroland is considerably to the left.
Well, that's why Rosemary,
right?
Not necessarily. They sell a lot of ads for, you know, strip clubs, things like that.
Yeah, but they do a lot on the local
music
scene.
Yeah, see, that's why I got to mention. Yeah, there it is. Radio commentator you'd most like to see strip, you know. Okay, let's get serious.
All right, let's get serious, and we'll start off with what's going on and prove to you of why Rosemary is such a great catch. Let's go to the.
I have to make sure my ex-husband sees this. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Well,
concentrate now.
There's a lot to talk about, and an incredible amount of stories that have just happened, and we'll get to we'll get to all of them here. But let's start with the California drought. This is quite a story.
Wow.
From California, and the I'm going to read the bit that I'm reading from is from. The Los Angeles Times. This is standing in a brownfield that would normally be smothered in several feet of snow. Governor Jerry Brown on Wednesday ordered cities and towns across California to cut water use by 25% as a part of a sweep of mandatory drought restrictions, the first in state history. The directive comes more than a year after Brown asked for a 20% voluntary cut in water use that most parts of the state have failed to attain, even as one of the most severe modern droughts drags into a fourth year. It also came on the day that water officials measured the lowest April 1st snowpack in more than 60 years of record keeping in the Sierra Nevada. So this is obviously a huge deal, and the words that are being used in this, especially when it comes to snowpack, is abysmal. And as Jerry Brown says, it's a different world. We have to act differently.
I keep thinking about what the Mars rover found, which is that there was once water on.
Wow!
There was once water on Mars.
That was a pretty dramatic setting he chose to make this announcement. That's a good comparison.
He would have been in 6 feet of snow,
or narrowly,
and he was in boots in you know brown grass. Yeah.
And I keep thinking about our fracking issues here on the other on the, this coast, the right coast, that no matter what you may think about the issue, the one thing that always occurs to me is that we don't truly appreciate what water does for our quality of life here. And it's huge. And what is happening in California can certainly happen here at some point, and has happened when, you know, all those restrictions on watering your lawn and washing your car and doing all those, that's all happened here. So the last thing you want to do, in my opinion, is fool with your water. You don't want to put solvents and other things. I remember on Long Island when I was a kid. I didn't live there, but lived around there. I remember that you were forbidden to use soap suds of certain kind on Long Island because it would fool with the
phosphates.
Fool with the water table. So water is a huge deal. And because it's happening out there, yes, it's another reason not to live there. But it's also something that is of huge concern to all of us.
Yeah, it is. And of course, the measures that the governor called for seem extreme, and yet they really won't begin to touch this. He called for a 25% reduction, probably should be more. And he didn't even touch agriculture, which is a huge component of the loss of water.
But there are agricultural rules and suggestions that have been implemented for farmers.
There's suggestions, as there had been voluntary ideas for urban restriction. They didn't work. So we could well see more of this.
And it's important to remember that a lot of our produce comes direct from California.
Oh, yeah.
Especially during the winter months. You know, there's freight trains that go literally right into this area directly from the San Joaquin Valley, bringing produce to the Northeast. So we're the direct beneficiaries of their largesse out there, their agricultural largesse. And if that is compromised, it's going to mean high prices, it's going to mean shortages, and it's going to affect us all before we even get our own water shortages. And, you know, water is, it's like gold, and we take it for
That's
granted.
Right.
You're exactly right. I mean, it is so abundant, and we're so lucky to have clean water, abundant clean water.
I do want to mention the part of this is that the 25% of the water that California uses comes from the Sierra snowpack.
Right.
And that's
the very place that had no snow.
That had no snow,
spoke.
Right?
Yeah. It's like a quarter of their water's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, and that's as you mentioned, Rosemary. You look at this and say, okay, well, this is okay, but not far enough. But it's probably as far as you can maybe take it initially.
His
before
first step
you,
is
yes,
but it's mandatory. It's not voluntary anymore.
That's right. Mandatory.
Now they'll police it.
But just think what it means to lawns. You know, the American way of life is to have a lawn.
You know, I think lawns are highly overrated. I really like that. You know, pull up your lawn. The state is going to do that. They're going to pull up state-owned land that needs mowing and put up, like, cactus and stuff. That's a great
idea.
Gravel.
You know,
gravel's good.
Yeah. Arizona
seashells.
Does that.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very
or
nice.
Or just
sand.
Whatever grow and then I believe we had a guest on about a year ago who was talking about this issue and just called it a freedom lawn.
That's good.
Yeah, you
That's
just
good.
Let whatever grow.
Yeah, well,
a weed lot.
I'll subscribe to that.
Yes.
I'll deal with the phone calls we're going to get on this one. You try in Great Barrington, Mass., where I live, to just grow your lawn and let the weeds come up and see. And
you'll be reported, right?
And see what? Well, I don't know. You'll be reported. You'll be resented. That's for sure.
Well, you can cut them. You just don't have to.
Yeah, mow the
fertilize
weeds.
and mow them all the time. All the effort that goes into a nice lawn.
Really, think about it. What if we put that into like reading books instead?
Well, it's outdoors work. It's kind of pleasant to be out there trimming the grass.
I spent my life avoiding outdoor work.
Said the guy who never mows his lawn.
<you know>? Yeah.
Right. I know a guy. Mm. My brother-in-law, who, you know, has, like, the sprinkler thing. There's, like, this whole underwater irrigation system. Yeah. And it's like, well, what do you need that for? I mean, it looks beautiful. I do say that looks beautiful, but how much water are you using there?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. California is cutting water to cemeteries and golf courses. So
St. Chartock also has a underground water.
I have this image of California, you know, tumbleweeds rolling through the road streets and everything.
If it doesn't just crack off in the next earthquake, so scary stuff.
Yes. And this is and the other thing, and this is an aside only because we have about 30 seconds left, but I was also in reading this article, the governor's approval ratings. Governor Brown, talk
he's
about
fixed California. They have a budget surplus.
Like
he's
talk,
a really good governor.
Talk about a political comeback of a guy who was a joke at one point.
Mayor Moonbeam,
right, and then turns around and becomes one of the most popular governors in the country. That's a cool story.
Really,
but he's been
successful.
Oh yeah, he's a really small guy.
He's brokered political deals that have brought that state.
Say nothing about having once dated Linda Ronstadt
a long time ago. He also worked with Mother Teresa of Calcutta as a volunteer.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a fascinating, history.
He would be a good biography to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about many other issues that are making the news. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable panel, and it's very nice to have you with us on this Thursday, the 2nd of April, April 2nd. And Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo is here, and Mike Spain is with us as well. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we have a lot of letters, and most of them are about Rosemary, but we do have other letters as well.
Okay. don't send us pictures, because this is radio, folks. Okay, so...
so a cute picture, though.
So Tony says, ha, Jerry Brown has nothing on Canada's Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who dated Barbara Streisand, and then he married Margaret Sinclair and made her Margaret Trudeau, who is now the mother of Canada's next prime minister, Justin Trudeau. By the way, Justin Trudeau, Justin Timberlake, Justin Morneau, and Justin Bieber, which one doesn't belong? On all these things is not like the one of the I see one of these things is not like the others. Hey guys, just check your writing before you send this stuff because
that's
I got
it's the Sesame Street
writing,
song. One
reading,
of these things is not like the others.
No. It says on of these things.
Oh.
It's actually one.
You dropped
so
an
you
E.
You
are expected
it.
To fix it while you're on the fly, and then people write and say you don't read the. Things well. Okay.
That's still a clever letter.
One of these things is not like the others. One of these is just not the same as Justin Timberlake because he is...
Not Canadian.
Correct.
Did
you see that?
I did not.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I just knew his lineage.
I just wanted to make sure you weren't there. Okay. Okay. So Dennis says, fewer lawns and less ground cover produce a lot more dust blowing around. I've been in countries that don't have Western mania for laws. The dust can be really unpleasant. We need more water, not fewer lawns. And you're getting the more water
from?
Well, there's desalinization. We've never really made it work.
I guess we're going to have to.
That's the next step. Yeah,
that is huge. Okay, and then what happens when we use up all the oceans? That's what I want to know, Eunice.
We're just melting the earth, so that's not going to happen for a long time.
Well, you never know, a billion years here and there. So Scott says, if we can make If we can make a pipeline from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico to move oil, isn't it possible to make a pipeline from the northeast to the Great Lakes to move water to California? It's not hazardous. And if it leaks, the cleanup would be an issue. In fact, I would give them permission to start the pipeline in my basement, says Scott. <All
right. laughs> Let's sell them Lake Champlain. What
That's
the hell?
That's right. We'll do it.
Oh, boy. No. You see, another, yes. These keep coming with pictures on them. That's not good. Ha, huh. We did that one. It's from Tony. Now, Ozone Pete says, quoth Mark Twain. I like quoth. Whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. Proven throughout history, plant a food garden, not a lawnscape. Cheers for the spring. Pete from Tallinn. Anonymous. What about the people who use water to wash things off in their driveway? And Peter changes the subject. One interesting point, perhaps the only one that Robert Bork made during his confirmation hearings, was that you can't simply expand rights. One group's rights might very well come at the expense of another group's. If a tenant can rent any apartment he likes, then the landlord loses the right to rent the tenant of his choice. Whose rights will prevail? Is that a legal question or political? And that's Peter in New Paltz.
Okay. Having nothing to do with water, I assume he's talking about Indiana. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Indiana,
Yeah, you know, you get into a bad situation, you cry, and that's water. let's see.
Salty water.
Yeah, and then Margaret says, big business is in danger to drinking water throughout America. It's a danger to drinking water throughout America. Go to Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. WAMC needs a national water report. Having lawns where people put millions into it like they're running the Kentucky Derby needs to stop. Okay. Rosemary, if I didn't find and marry me childhood sweetheart, you'd be the one, baby. That's what it says.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the radio commentators.
Oh, boy. and Tom says desalinization is too energy intensive. And Malia says, hey, guys, you're on the right track when you're talking of pulling up lawns, but I think the weed lots or freedom lots won't gain a lot of traction. You should instead be talking about zero-scaping. I'm from the West where there are more and more yards, gardens, landscaped beautifully with local drought-friendly plants, no grass and no water. Don't have to mean ugly.
Also, trees would be nice. Can we plant some trees?
Rock gardens.
Yeah,
rock
just cut
gardens.
Them down in Great Barrington. We're going to put some new ones up.
Just pave your front lawn. Yeah.
Also, whenever I see private swimming pools, I can't help but think about the waste of water. Why aren't government officials thinking about putting serious limits on this?
Swimming pools?
Swimming pools, yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I have a swimming pool. You pay for that.
I have one too, but I think it's a good point. I mean, I know that in my house, Roselle would love to get rid of our swimming pool, but not necessarily to conserve water, but just because it's expensive.
The maintenance.
Yeah. A rumor I heard, perhaps an urban myth, I can't find validation anywhere, was that the number of private pools, in Phoenix, Arizona, caused a bit of local climate alteration, making it much more humid than is natural. Dennis says, fewer lawns and less ground cover produces a lot more dust blowing around. We did that one. Okay, and that, my friends...
Let's do more news.
Irene says, no lawn does not mean... Okay, we got all of that. Okay, we're done.
All right, we go back to the topics at hand, and again, we welcome your letters, roundtable at wamc.org. Just two things, that happened overnight while we were sleeping, but there was the deadly attack on the university in Kenya. That occurred. News reports say at least 14 people were killed and scores more wounded after attackers forced their way into student dormitories. That story coming in overnight. And at one point, I believe that they said, from my understanding, that a statement by the United States Embassy in Nairobi said that hostages have been taken and Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the attack. Referring to the East African extremist group whose attack on a Nairobi shopping mall killed 67 people in 2013. So there are hostages and there's still people unaccounted for in that situation. So we will watch that and find out what happens. I did want to mention that as well. Of course, the other big news that is still news is the both the Indiana law, but also Arkansas law. And the Arkansas governor yesterday said he wanted for the law to be recalled. And on a rather quick switch, the Republican governor Asa Hutchinson said that he did not want that law to be the law of the state that he governs, and even cited his own son, saying that he wanted to reverse the law.
Well, yes, and apparently Mr. Hutchinson heard from the business community in his state, which said this is bad for business. Oh, if it's bad for business, then we got to stop it.
So we've been talking about this, about the differences in these laws, but so why isn't that working, do you think, in Indiana?
Why is what not working?
The business lobby and not making, not
well,
changing.
I think it's
very strong. I'm just saying as far as, you know,
they have also said this is not a good idea. This is going to cost money.
The problem
but
in
it doesn't
Indiana
have the
was,
governor changing his mind.
Well, the governor in Indiana had already signed the law the week before.
Yeah.
At least Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas had it on his desk. He had a much more
pause before right, signing. Yeah.
Flexible situation where he can send it back for, you know, clarification. This kind of got passed under the radar, I think, at least nationally. And
that,
was
that's
the
whole
law.
Thing with Pence yeah. is that he yeah. signed it. For political reasons, he wanted to make a conservative mm-hmm. statement. He did not think it through, and then got caught short, and immediately starts
couldn't
blaming
explain
the press.
It.
Yeah. Couldn't explain what he had done, and blames the press instead of his own
ineptitude.
Yeah, it really is.
But
I mean, this
been
is a man
uproar.
Who wants to be president. You got to think about things ahead of time if you want a position that high.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's really caused problems within the GOP ranks, where you know even. Jeb Bush has stepped back from his original statements that supported the Indiana governor and the law there, and is maybe looking for a little more. I think what was the term? You know, collegiality or consensus. That's it. Consensus. We should really be working off of more consensus.
Well, you're in trouble when you're taking a position opposite of Walmart. Walmart says this is a bad idea.
Walmart is leading the way in Arkansas.
That's a leading business, of course, based in
that
in
and young Mr. Hutchinson, the governor's son, who. Appealed to his father, and apparently had.
May I ask, is he gay or just
it's not?
A
there's a profile
citizen,
of him in the
or?
New York Times, and it doesn't.
It was odd that it
didn't
make
say
that
assertion.
I wondered.
Yeah.
It is interesting, however, when the children of public officials get on Papa's case or Mama's case and say this is just wrong and you should stop this, then it makes a huge difference. We saw Ronald Reagan's son Ron doing just that.
That's interesting.
And we saw in New York State, I think it's one of the things that people don't remember, is that the way we got an abortion law, permission to have an abortion, is that one guy who was voting from an upstate district got up and said that he was that his kids had called him a prostitute. And cryingly, he said he knew it would be the end of his political career.
Do you remember when Jimmy Carter, Alan, got into trouble because he admitted that he was framing his discussion about nuclear weapons based on a conversation with his daughter, Amy? Do you remember that?
Yes.
He was made to look like a fool.
Well, because it was hard for to believe that an 8-year-old had said the word nuclear proliferation.
She was a smart girl.
Well yes, but I think that was the term. He said, I was speaking to my daughter Amy, and she said the issue that worried her more than anything else is she said to me nuclear proliferation, and that is what took
and look,
off.
Here and here we are in Iran. The girl was prescient.
Yes, absolutely.
Seth, and at least she could pronounce nuclear, which of course a subsequent president could not do.
Seth Hutchinson, the son of the governor of Arkansas, is a big labor organizer, and you know he organized when he was in college in Texas. He did it, and he's doing it in Arkansas.
Well, keep talking to your dad. Good job.
Yeah.
by the way, I just have to say, you know, David Letterman is from Indiana, and he went on the show last night. And
Al Franken is his guest,
and he just said, "Look, you know, this isn't the Indiana I know." He said, "It may be the law, but it ain't right." Was his quote. And then he went in, and if you have a chance, and this is why I'm telling you this, but if you have a chance, just go on YouTube and look at he did the top 10. Guys that Indiana Governor Mike Pence looks like. And it was very fun. Number 10, starting off, the guy at the bar who sent your girlfriend a drink. it was well done.
Herb Shriner.
Right.
Makes me really the oldest person in the room.
There was another clip from that show last night where he was talking to Al Franken, the senator.
Yes.
Who suggested that he said, young people come up to him and said, "How can I be a U.S. senator?" He goes, "Well, have a career in comedy, and after 30 or 40 years, then go for the U.S. Senate. It works every time," suggesting that Letterman ought to run for Senate now.
Or perhaps you just take favors from your friend, the eye doctor.
Oh, it's a profitable business when you have friends in high places.
I'm so sorry.
Do you know what we're talking about?
No.
Senator Menendez.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yes. He rose to
I'm sorry. I was on
made
the
a good transition.
I thought you were making a wonderful transition. I thought you were talking about an indiscretion on the part of Al Franken that I was unaware of.
One of his colleagues from New Jersey.
His colleague from New Jersey. That's right. So
Mendez, as Pete would have sung, "Oh, when will they ever learn?"
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake.
Really, so bold.
Yeah, bold. It's a great word.
We have to let.
All right. Joe, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get on the story and we'll talk about that, and we'll set it up, and we'll talk about that. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Stagecoach Tavern at Racebrook Lodge, Route 41, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Presenting the Brooklyn Ragamassive, a night of Indian classical music, Saturday, April 11th at 8 p.m. rblodge.com for tickets. Third Eye Associates Limited, holistic life planning, transition planning, and wealth management, registered investment advisors. New York City, Washington, D.C., and the Hudson Valley. ThirdEyeAssociates.com. And Traditions Linens Factory Outlet, Claverack. Linens for bed, bath, and home, with new Kashmina blankets and spring inventory arrivals. Also offering custom coverlets, shams, dust ruffles, and more. TraditionsLinens.com.
Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey was indicted on bribery charges on Wednesday in what prosecutors said was a scheme to trade political favors for luxury vacations, golf outings, campaign donations, and expensive flights. The indictment, the first federal bribery charges against a sitting senator in a generation, puts Mr. Menendez's political future in jeopardy. You think? He faces a possible sentence of 15 years in prison for each of the 8 bribery counts. Yes, it sure is. Mr. Menendez, a Democrat, angrily denied wrongdoing and vowed to fight the charges. "This is not how my career is going to end," he said at a news conference in Newark, where supporters cheered him. "Today contradicts my public service career and my entire life."
Well, just to get back to what we mentioned before, the charges revolve around Senator Menendez's relationship with Dr. Salomon E. Milgen, a wealthy Florida eye surgeon and political benefactor. See, so that's why we mentioned eye surgeon.
That's right.
Eye doctor, yeah.
Sure.
Belittled him.
One
of the favors the senator did, was get visas for this guy he's married, for getting his little foreign girlfriends into the country. Charming. That's friendship.
And in return, the senator got to go on some great golf trips and some other
trip to
the
Dominican Republic. I really hate this stuff. These charges have been in the works for a while, although the scope and the breadth and the venality of them is new.
Right. They said that the prosecutors tried to lean on Dr. Milgen to testify against Menendez, and he refused. So they indicted him too.
Right. So again, we're convicting the guy before he's had a trial, and I apologize to listeners who are offended by that. But if even part of these charges are true, horrible.
But even if it gets back to the whole issue of what what people do in high places. They are giving you political contributions, and in return they have access to you, and then you support legislation that benefits them. And that's legal most of the time.
I was going to say that the real culprit in here, the unindicted co-conspirator, is the Supreme Court, which made a whole lot of this possible with Citizens United in 2010.
They did. I mean, unlimited campaign contributions,
right.
Essentially.
Money went right
I can
into
buy
his
you.
Pack.
Yes,
absolutely.
And now that's legal.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Alan, why are you looking, not weighing in?
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're the political scientist.
Well, let me tell you that New Jersey, where I worked at a place called the Eagleton Institute of Politics for a number of years, really has produced the bumper crop of corrupt politicians.
It's just transactional negotiations and, you know, supersedes the law.
Some of the best people in the U.S. Senate, for example, like Harrison Williams, you know, he's caught in an abscam. It really is a place where the traditions are.
The previous governor had squandered millions of pension money or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
and there was Senator Torricelli who had to he left after the ethics scandal, and then
was he senator or congressman? I don't remember.
Torricelli?
Yeah. Oh, he's a senator.
Senator.
Yep.
And then there was Nixon's vice president. It goes all the way back there.
Agnew.
Long tradition.
But he didn't
yes,
come from
Agnew.
New Jersey.
Oh, Maryland.
Maryland. Sorry,
Maryland.
Sorry.
Oh, come
it just
on now.
Like
Spiro
New
Agnew
Jersey.
Was not from New
That's
Jersey.
That's right. Oh, my goodness.
Say what you can about New Jersey,
Thank
but
you
Spiro
for the
Agnew
correction.
Was not from there.
Thank you for the correction.
Harrison Williams was from New Jersey.
I know. This story makes you nostalgic for an abscam, doesn't it?
Yeah, so you have
Not that we in New York really have room to be, you know, smug about it.
No. It's true.
Corruption is awful. I hate that this is a Democrat. It's going to further hurt the Senate balance. And he was on the Foreign Relations Committee, which is going to make making any kind of an arrangement in Iran even more difficult. But corruption just cannot be condoned.
On the other hand, he was very tough on the president where Cuba was concerned because he was born
in
Cuba.
Right. He is Cuban.
Let's go to another topic, if we may. And do you have a couple letters there, Alan?
There are several. Some of them I find more difficult than others.
Well, then we can skip those.
Maybe you can help me with this, with our friend Sally, who says, keep in mind that all the, quote, stuff, weed killers, fertilized salt, et cetera, and it says UHE system. I think it means the system, but I don't want to put words in her mouth. Up in your water system, they can only poison the system, but also add to the eutrophication.
Eutrophication?
That's E-U-T-R-O.
A lot of these programs on these handheld devices and iPads correct the, throw different words in.
Well, eutrophication of lakes and ponds due to weed growth, a beautiful, in quotes, lawn comes at a terrible cost. Mm-hmm. Okay. Steven says, do an eye doctor favors, it's illegal. Do the Koch brothers favors, it's legal.
So far.
Yeah, well. I mean, I think what happens is that people understand the difference between illegal bribery and legal bribery. So if you do it the legal way, campaign contributions and the other thing, you know, nobody can. But if you take a trip on a plane that somebody gives you, that's a different story. Okay,
the the doctor seemed extremely open in messages to the senator, as he did to the staff too, and so the stuff the prosecutors has is really damning.
Yeah.
Just on the basis of we got to take care of this. He asked for it, so the quid pro quo is actually quite easy to show if the prosecutors are right. They went for bribery charges, which are the top, not like taking a favor, which is a kind of lesser charge. But they really seem to think you can prove that
quid
he
pro
gave
quo.
Money. Yeah. And he got this in return.
And
that's
not using
a
honest,
high level.
Dishonest services. They're actually. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and the only way you can really, really get these guys is if they set it into a microphone or a telephone that's being tapped.
Mm. Or memos. I mean, it sounds like there's
memos.
Yes.
There seems to be writing. Anyway, we only, of course, have the prosecutor's side at this point.
So anyway, Michael says, hey, gang, page one of the Times Union Capital Region section details infrastructure concerns a bit closer to home than California. Well, it's not one or the other. Today we're talking about water. I'm sure we'll continue, as we have, to talk about infrastructure. And it's a very good piece, by the way. You're exactly right. Governor Brown says, Lordy, is Governor Brown is right on, maybe even too conservative. Scientists and engineers have been saying for decades that water would be the major issue of the 220s and beyond. Aquifers in the Midwest are nearly dry, and global warming will change precipitation patterns around the globe. Alan is right. Water is gold, and we need to act with authority now. Most believe there will be a major population shift back around the Great Lakes and Northeast as this becomes more and more of a problem. And let's see here. Stephen says, I think he says, Stephen says, do an eye doctor. Oh, yeah, we did that one, didn't we? And Erica says, I too think about the water pipeline. Why don't we have these? Seems like a very simple answer that would start to address the problem. And Robin says, I just read the April 2015 National Geographic. Pools, in quotes, can waste less money than traditional lawns, research has shown. The big thing with a pool is that you fill it once, said Jonathan Volsky, spokesman for the Santa Margarita Water District in Orange County, which rolled back its pool prohibitions after analyzing water usage.
Interesting.
Pools are also usually surrounded by decks, which means an area up to three times the size of the pool no longer requires any water at all. Add a cover to prevent evaporation, and a pool can use even less water over time than drought-tolerant landscaping.
And smart, that's there's smart ways to make things work, I guess. Hey, but regarding the idea that there'd be a pipes from the Midwest out to the California.
Just have a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's huge pipes that take water from the Catskills to New York City. The volume that you need is enormous, and those are billions and billions of dollars worth of infrastructure that New York City is having to spend now to repair them. They were built back in the 30s. And, you know, it is possible, but it's expensive. It may become cost-efficient when they actually run out of water, but it's not just like a pipe oil pipeline where it's much lower volume.
Okay, and we've had at least three letters on eutrophication. Which is means filling in by silt or weeds, et cetera, ponds to swamp to dirt, and then parenthesis autocorrect is a pain. And that's from Sally again. Okay, so what else?
We're out of time.
Okay, great.
Yeah. We will thank you very much for being with us. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Rosemary, congratulations on your great honor.
Ian Pickus and I are going to go out and celebrate.
Go ahead, yeah, our, absolutely. Our yes. Yeah. Very, very nice. And Mike Spain, happily married.
Yeah. Yep, I'm not available. Even if anybody wanted. Which they evidently do not.
thank you very much. Alan and I will be back in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking to the former ambassador to Syria, Ambassador Theodore Katouf. We will talk to him next on the roundtable. That's the idea. That's what we're doing. You're listening to the roundtable on WAMC.